It wasn't your normal summer vacation for a 19-year-old English kid. When Jason Elliott hungered for adventure, he went to Afghanistan. It was the mid-80s when Afghan rebels fought the occupying Soviet army. Somehow, Elliott managed to hook up with a Mujahideen. Traveling through the mountains was grueling, at times terrifying, but he fell in love with Afghanistan, and he's been back several times since then. By the mid-90s, the Russians had left, but the country was mired in civil war. And when Elliott returned to Kabul, he dodged the rockets exploding around him. He also ventured into parts of the country where the Taliban had seized control. His book about these experiences, An Unexpected Light, has been called a classic of travel writing. These days, Jason Elliott is bracing for a new war in Afghanistan. He told Steve Paulson that most Afghans resent Osama bin Laden for bringing them so much trouble. And though the Taliban controls 90% of the country, Elliott says popular support for them is sparse. He worries that the West has condemned everyone who lives in Afghanistan.
I think we have to make a very clear distinction between Afghanistan as a nation, that is to say, the people that comprise the vast majority of it, of its population, the regime under which they live, and those foreign elements that have taken refuge on Afghan soil. They're three very, very different things. And seductive as it is, we must be wary of lumping them all together.
So even to use a word like Islamic fundamentalism and just to equate that with fanatics, with terrorists, that's a big mistake.
Well, it doesn't mean anything at all. And if you can find somebody to actually satisfactorily define the word Islamic fundamentalism, I take my hat off to you. It's not a term which helps us. It's much more useful to deal with a country in terms of specific factors, which you would anywhere else. I mean, you know, we know some of these terrorists associated with the tragedy in the United States lived in England. Well, nobody would dream of equating the English population with terrorists or terrorism. We make a separation there. Why don't we make a separation when it applies to Afghanistan?
Let me take this to a more personal level, because you have traveled to Afghanistan several times, and what comes through your book is a real love of the country, of the place, and of the people. And I'm wondering why this country is so special to you.
Afghanistan is a country which you tend to love or hate. I don't know anyone who's felt indifferent to it. I came to love it because I had never before or since, I have to say, encountered a more hospitable or generous people who were courteous to a fault to a foreigner who was really offering them very, very, very little in return.
I think at one point you describe many of the people you met as having infectious goodwill.
Absolutely, yes. And it's something I find impossible to recognize in the descriptions I'm hearing about Afghanistan now. People are being lumped together under this very dangerous reductionism, I would call it, that equates terror and bin Laden and Afghanistan all somehow together. But I had nothing but courtesy and consideration from ordinary Afghans. I have to emphasize that.
When you talk about the courtesy that you received, the hospitality, can you give me some sense of that? What do people do when they meet a foreigner, when they meet a stranger?
The first thing they do is say, come home and meet my family and come and stay at my place. And you're a bit suspicious of this at first, but when you've got to the end of the street and a dozen different people you've met have made you the same offer and you realize they're not actually wanting anything in return but merely glad to see you, you begin to soften a little. And sure enough, you begin to take it for granted. And as a result, when you get home, that seems like the strange and inhospitable place. But it's not an aspect you only hear the bad news from this place.
Tell me what it was like when you arrived in Kabul, because I would imagine there was a fair amount of gunfire and even shelling from rockets going on.
Yes, but those are normal in warfare, and they form the backdrop of your experience. They don't necessarily preoccupy you the whole time. The most disturbing thing to my mind was not actually the rockets themselves, but not showing up, not revealing my fear of them to Afghans. Now, you may have gathered Afghans are a proud people in the most positive sense. And when we would hear rockets about to be fired into the city from their initial detonation in the surrounding hills, you knew that you had about 7 seconds left to hopefully get into a more safe place. But when you looked around in the street among the Afghans around you, you'd see that despite having heard the same sounds as you had, they hadn't so much altered their tone of voice. And out of shame alone, it became impossible not to also, as it were, hold your own ground. You couldn't possibly, run behind a building while all these people around you were carrying on as if nothing had happened. One day when a shell landed close to the house I was staying and killed a number of people in the process, I visited the site in order to write an article about it. And walking home, I found myself cowering somewhat in the shadow of a wall. And up ahead, a young Afghan was waving to me frantically, and I couldn't quite understand what he was trying to say. And it dawned on me eventually that he was urging me to not walk in the shadows, but to walk in the sunshine in the middle of the street and straighten my back and walk like a man, because this was a most un-Afghan kind of behavior, to walk cowering in the shadow of a wall. And this was kind of a daily occurrence. You know, this reminder that despite the hazards around you, one simply mustn't lose one's own self-pride.
What was the state of the country after the Soviets left, after they'd been there fighting the Afghans for a decade? Was the country in ruins?
Well, don't forget there's a widespread sentiment in Afghanistan that for 10 years, the Afghans themselves were fighting at the sharp end of what was the Cold War, supported generously by American funds. And when that fight was over and the Soviets returned to a now fracturing Soviet Union, the Americans, who had so generously supported them, rolled up their maps and went home. And many Afghans were left with a sense of profound disappointment by what they perceived as their abandonment by America, who, naively or not, they had imagined would help rebuild their country after the war.
So the Afghans felt they had been on the front lines of the fight against communism. They had lost thousands, hundreds of thousands of people in that war.
Well, nearly 2 million. It's a phenomenal number of people. Nearly 2 million people probably have died. 1.5 million, we reckon, probably in the 10-year period that they were fighting the Soviets.
And then once the Soviets left, the United States didn't care about Afghanistan anymore.
Well, I heard that one of the sayings among the CIA at the time was that they would fight the Russians to the last Afghan. And this was virtually the case. It was the Afghans who did the fighting, and it was the Afghans who got left behind and stranded in a shattered country after the Soviets had retreated, and probably sustained as many casualties as the Americans had in Vietnam.
Do you want to go back there?
I'd love to go back. It doesn't seem like now is the best time. and my heart goes out to those Afghans who are already, leaving their homes, as if these poor people have not had to suffer enough. It now seems likely that they'll have to face another round of hostility from the outside world. The world is an interconnected place. And dropping bombs on people has an effect. And I think we ignore those possible consequences at our peril.
You're saying this will turn a lot of Afghans against the United States, people who might be neutral at the moment.
Well, the Afghans they just want to get on with their lives like most people. I don't think they have too much time for the ideology. They've got children to send to school and households to run. This is a people who suffered unimaginably over the past 25 years. The majority of Afghans are offended by the presence of foreigners on their soil who've brought Afghanistan's name into such disrepute. They don't want to be involved in an international conflict. They've had enough. In my view, they deserve better treatment than they're getting from the outside world.
Jason Elliott, talking with Steve Paulson from the BBC in London. Elliott is the author of An Unexpected Light, travels in Afghanistan.